So, you know, if we're thinking and singing this song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. What's a sanctuary?
What is a sanctuary?
Any thoughts on what a sanctuary might be?
A holy place.
Okay.
A peaceful place.
A peaceful place.
A dwelling place.
A dwelling place. A holy place. And it can be and would be a peaceful place. And I like all of that as we think of a sanctuary. And then we sang, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. I trust, and I don't know you all, but it's a wonderful thing to come to a Bible conference as young people. And I trust that right now, each one of you can say you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And if you don't, then before this conference is complete, that you do. But for each one of those of us who can say that we do know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, what's dwelling in these bodies? We set a sanctuary. Prepare me to be a sanctuary. We set a sanctuary with a dwelling place, a holy place, a peaceful place. Who's dwelling within these bodies of ours? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. Divine persons are dwelling within you and me, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The dwelling place of the Spirit of God dwelling within you and me. God, the Spirit, dwelling within you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. He has prepared us if we know Him. He has prepared us. Now, as we come together for conference, may He, by the Spirit of God, and may the Spirit of God have liberty in each one of our lives as individuals, as we hear at the conference, to allow us to take in the Word of God. And if we take that little song that we all know so well, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, and let that speak to us as far as the conference itself is concerned, and the Word of God that will be presented and that we'll study together and have open, that the Word of God would find entrance into our hearts, and that by the power of the Spirit of God, it would have an effect on your life and on mine, and that each one of us would leave here with those thoughts and energized by what God in His grace would give us from His Word, and that we might take that in, and that we might even be prepared vessels to receive the Word. And so then, you know, we realize, as we think of all that and think of the definitions that have been given, right? It's the dwelling place. So we will come to understand that even in our studies, right? When we think of the holiness of God and how that ought to affect our lives, our practical daily lives. And it was, I'm forgetting them now. What was the first one? The holy place and the dwelling place. Yes. So we will understand then that there is the dwelling place and it's holy because it's God. And that's what brings peace in our lives, as we aren't struggling, as we're going to learn with Jacob, who struggled and struggled for his own way and his own planning and his own thoughts, and he's going to have it all figured out. But there'll be peace with God as we submit ourselves to Him to allow Him to lead us here while we're still in this scene. So, just a few thoughts in the singing of this hymn. And Tony, I think you're going to give us a few words as far as intro is concerned. We can close with a couple more songs.
Yeah, I think the
about this was like?
Why didn't you talk about Jesus?
Passing the buck.
Maybe after.
Yeah.
So if you've ever taken a speech class, I did what they tell you never to do just before you get up to speak. Put some gum or candy in your mouth. So we'll have to get rid of that. I was hoping that they would sing some more. So we're very excited. We want to welcome each one of you to Winter Youth Conference 2013. It's very hard for us to imagine that we've reached almost the end of the year again. Perhaps it's not something that you may, at your stage in life, readily understand, but many of us who are a little bit older certainly had hoped that the Lord would have come already. Because you get tired of the environment that you have here on earth, the wickedness, the sin, the challenges. And you say, you know, Lord, come for us and take us to be with yourself. Certainly when we were your age, there were a lot of aspirations that we had, things that we were looking forward to. Some finishing high school, some finishing college, beginning careers, you know, establishing relationships and being married. All of these are good, natural things that we had before us. So I can understand perhaps where we have different perspectives depending on where we are in life. But as Brother John was speaking to us this a short while ago, there were some thoughts that ran through my mind in relation to Jacob. And we're going to spend a few days looking at this man. And we're going to discover some very interesting things about him. And we want you as young people, I think the benefit of the conference is going to be twofold. One is, if you have a desire to be here that goes beyond just your friends, because we know that's important to you as well. The fellowship is wonderful. But if there's a real desire for us to grow, for you, an individual, a personal desire, for you before the Lord to receive what the Spirit of God is going to open up to us from the Word of God concerning Jacob, then you're going to learn something about Jacob, something about his experiences that you didn't know before. But if you just stop there, young people, it won't be really what the Lord wants to accomplish in your life. So there's the instruction that we get from the Word of God, becoming exposed in a deeper way. So some may say, you know, I've read about Jacob before. You know, I know that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that he is a son of promise. And so maybe perhaps you already have a certain exposure to the life of Jacob. But really the challenge for us is, what do we do with the additional exposure from the Word of God concerning the life of Jacob? What does that mean to me as an individual? What impact is that going to have upon me? And so I'd like you to turn, and I'm only going to be very brief because we have the days before us that we will look at this in detail. But I'd like if you could turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. And I want to read a verse here, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then turn with me to Romans chapter 12, a familiar verse here. I think it ties in with the sanctuary song that we have just sung. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then lastly, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. Hebrews 11:21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped upon the top of his staff. So you might say, Brother Tony, these verses that you've read, other than the last one, they don't seem to me to have a whole lot to do with Jacob. Well, they do and they don't. They have a lot to do with you, first of all, and me. And I want to talk with you a little bit about the process by which we can benefit spiritually from the subject that is before us. I'm sure you've heard me say before that Christianity is not like a light switch, where we flip the switch and all of a sudden we are what the Lord would have us to be. I think perhaps sometimes that part of the struggle and the challenge that we have in our personal lives is that we're expecting wholesale changes, a flip of a switch, and all of a sudden I am, you know, this holy brother, this holy sister. I'm talking about in a practical way because we know what God has done for us positionally. But that I'm living this, you know, victorious life. All of a sudden I've arrived. And that's really not the way in which we develop as individuals. If you look at many of the characters in the scriptures, including Jacob, you'll find that God has to do a work to break us down, to help us to understand that we are not as big and as powerful, as independent as we think that we are. That we are puny human beings, that by the grace of God we have been saved, that our eternal destiny is settled forever. The Spirit of God indwells us. But there is a process by which the Lord wants to transform us. So Philippians chapter 1 brings before us something that God is doing. And Paul says there that he says, and I love this verse, he says, being confident of this very thing. What's the thing? Here. That he, that is the Lord, God who hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's saying, young people, that if you belong to the Lord Jesus, if you've confessed him as your Savior, he has begun a good work in you. And it's inside that he is interested in. It is the spiritual man. You see, the world wants us to be occupied solely with the external, with what people see. But you see, the way God looks, you know, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says God doesn't look upon us as man does. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And so the principles of the world that say, let me draw attention to myself, let me elevate myself, let me show you how smart I am, let me show you how gifted I am athletically, let me show you how beautiful I am by, you know, my hair, my clothes. It's the wrong principle by which we as believers ought to be living by. You know, I've always thought of the fact that if we spend our whole lives occupied with the external and very little time on the internal, what will we say when we stand before the Lord? And you say, oh, look, you know, I spent a lot of time in the gym. Or I spent a lot of time, you know, fixing myself in a very beautiful manner. And the Lord says, yes, but what about the inner you, the spiritual part? Have you ever read Ezekiel? I want to introduce you to Daniel. And you say, well, you know, I never got to those books. Well, how about Moses, the first five books? Well, you know, I started in Genesis, but I couldn't get out the book because it had how many chapters in Genesis? Anyone know? Oop, oop, oop. Somebody said 40. 50. 49, 40, 49, 50. Which one? There you go. It's 50 chapters. So we want to focus and realize that God is doing, he has begun a good work in us. And he is going to perform that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest to us young people that in the life of Jacob, we see a work that God began in his life. And we're going to see also, as I read Hebrews chapter 11, that that work that God began in Jacob, he completed that work in Jacob. That at the end of Jacob's life, that Jacob was a completely different person than when he began to follow God. And I want to employ us as young people, as adults in this room, that God wants us to be transformed. And this is the connection to Romans chapter 12. So we know about laying ourselves down daily on the altar, dying daily, not being occupied with the things in the world, understanding that the cross has closed the door to this world. But now there's the transformation. That word there really means metamorphosis. And we're very familiar with this from General Science 101. The caterpillar, maybe some think the caterpillar is kind of good looking, kind of interesting insect. And yet as it goes through its metamorphosis, what comes out on the other side of the cocoon is something that is very, very beautiful. And I don't know very many people that don't want to hold a butterfly or don't want to look at what has happened to that caterpillar that is now metamorphosized into a beautiful butterfly. This is what Paul sets before us as young people. He says, be not conformed to this world. The world wants you and I to be conformed, to be like it. Well, Paul tells us that's what we once were. But now we are children of light. And we are to live in the good of the light that we are in. We are those, John, the Apostle John reminds us, that we walk in light. So here was Jacob, who was a son of promise, Abraham, Isaac, his father, Jacob. And we'll discover the kind of lifestyle that Jacob was living. And you might say, well, you know, Jacob was not, you know, some of these guys that you read in the newspapers, you know, the kind of lifestyle that they had. But I want to tell you that Jacob had a problem that began in his heart and his head and his heart. And it said that Jacob was going to be in control of his life. And there was no one that was going to stop Jacob. He was going to figure out every scheme, every machination, every way to accomplish his goals. But you know what? They were not the goals of God. They were not the ways of the Lord. And so for us as young people, we need to say, and we want to have this realistic discussion with ourselves, that part of being here at Winter Youth Conference is so that there might be a transformation from where I am today to where the Lord wants me to be tomorrow. And I suggest that from the Word of God in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that the only way that we're going to be transformed is through the renewing of our minds. It means, young people, that we have to learn how to think differently, how to think biblically, how to think unlike how the world sets things before us. And if we don't alter our thinking, bring it in line with the Word of God, well, what happens? We're saved, eternally secure, But the joy of our salvation, the joy that comes from obeying the word of God, the blessings that come, we find that we don't experience many of those things. Our life is a struggle. But he who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. And so we can go through a metamorphosis, I think, in two ways. I think we can take the Romans approach that by the renewing of our minds, we come into the good of the promises, the blessings, the obedient path that the Lord would have us to be on. And we find that that change, while there's, anytime there's a change, there's a struggle. And I think that if you were inside that cocoon, you would see this kind of struggle that goes on. And if you look at the caterpillar now changed into this beautiful butterfly as it tries to emerge out of the cocoon, you'll see that there is a struggle there. But then it's free and it soars. So that's one way that we can be metamorphosized. The other way is what you see in the life of Jacob, that God had to touch him. And Jacob, after he wrestled, he walked with a limp the rest of his life. And you know, young people, I say this very feelingly to us, that I have experienced, I've seen this in my life with young people, peers, some young people that I have worked with, that they being often reproved, Proverbs says, stiffen their neck, that God comes in and he has to touch them in a very significant way. I've seen some who walk with a limp, literally, for the rest of their lives. I've seen other young people who have been cut off in the young years of their life. So we want to say, what road do I want to take? Here was Jacob. He had his own ideas. He had his own energy. He had his own spirit. And that's all of us. I don't want us to think that we aren't like Jacob in that regard. But the question is, the metamorphosis process, which way do I want to travel? Do I want to, through the renewing of my mind, have that desire to be changed into the image of God's dear Son? Or do I want him to force that change? Because he who has begun a good work in you will perform it because you belong to him. And then I want to just close, and we'll come to this in our Bible study, which I think is a very beautiful thing at the end of the life of Jacob. Because God wants us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. And there's coming a day, I want to tell you young people, when the Lord is manifested, the appearing of the Lord Jesus, there's the manifestation of the sons of God. That's who we are. Romans chapter 8. We're going to come forth with great beauty. We are going to be like the Lord Jesus, a glorious body like unto his, a body not subject to the ailments of this scene any longer. And we're going to be on display. A sons like the Son. And so how beautiful that day is going to be. So here in Hebrews chapter 11 with Jacob. Jacob had gone through all these ups and downs in life, taking advantage of people and then being it, taking advantage of himself. Difficulty in the home, difficulty in his private life, difficulty with his brother, all kinds of problems. But at the end of Jacob's life, Jacob got it. You'll see that Jacob, instead of, you know, relying on his own wisdom, he goes to God to ask God what he should do in a particular circumstance. And then there was his son Joseph, and he wanted to bless Joseph and Joseph's sons. And Hebrews 11 reminds us that at the very end of Jacob's life, Jacob was someone who was a worshiper. He had the right perspective of God. And it says there in Hebrews 11 that here was Jacob, an old man, blessing the sons of Joseph. Anyone know the sons of Joseph's names? Who's it?
Ephraim and Manasseh.
Thank you. And it says, and he worshiped leaning upon his staff. How beautiful that is. It's a picture, I believe, of the spiritual significance of Jacob leaning upon the word of God, God himself. So we trust that tonight you have these booklets that have the readings in them. If you can take the opportunity to read through the scriptures for tomorrow. The exercise is not to go verse by verse through all of the portions, but to group them together so that we would get the sense of the experience that Jacob is going through at that particular moment in his life, and to see how God stepped in, to see how, you know, if there's a wrong beginning, well, there are going to be consequences to that. When we take things into our own hands, well, there are consequences to that. But to see, and I want us to look at how God allows certain things to go on. There's certain points in the life of Jacob that God stops Jacob. There's certain things that happen that come back to Jacob because of Jacob's own ways. And then to see how God forms Jacob. He gives him a new name. And how you and I in Christ have a new name, have a new purpose, and how after that encounter, how Jacob begins to walk in a different way, even with a limp. But he begins to walk straight, though a man who now has a limp. So this evening, as we just open with these few brief remarks, we trust again that the word of God that is living, is powerful, that we would have a desire, that we would have open hearts and open ears to hear the word of God. And that we go away in a very positive way, energized, you know, because young people, I want to tell you this, Christianity, what we have, is the most wonderful thing this world has ever known. And the lives that we have, Brother John was speaking about the Spirit of God who indwells us. I want to tell you, if there isn't something, you know, if you don't understand this, if you don't appreciate what the Lord, there isn't anything in this world that should excite us more than the fact that we've been saved. We've been rescued. We've been ransomed. That we are justified, sanctified. The Spirit of God lives within this vessel. That a divine person who was in every way a part of the activity of creation, the Spirit of God, he moved upon the waters of the deep, that the Lord said, I'm going to send another, a comforter. And when he comes, he'll be in you and with you forever. So that when we go through experiences in life, we don't have to say, what should I do? We don't have to say, oh, Lord, you know, I'm at wit's end. No, we can say, look, I turn to the Lord. Lord, show me. And to know that from the word of God or from ministry, or for someone who is talking to me, that the Spirit of God is communicating, you go to the right or you go to the left. To know that there's peace in the midst of storm. To know that there's energy. Young people, I'm going to tell you this. We need to be those who are smiling, those who are happy, those who are energized. Because the Lord Jesus has done wonderful things for us. And he who has begun a good work. And I want you to hold on to these verses. Because I tell you this, in my youth, these things were presented to us. And they say, listen, hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the Lord Jesus. Believe his word. Accept his word. Scripture says, if you honor the Lord, he'll honor you. And when others are saying, let's go do this, they say, look, I can't. And you become Mr. and Mrs. Unpopular, Miss Unpopular. You know what happens in the long run? The Lord blesses you. And that's what happened to Jacob, when he got it right, when he surrendered everything, the Lord started to bring Jacob into great blessings. So we're going to close in prayer, and I just trust that this as an introduction will help us to, as a springboard into our readings tomorrow. So let's, tonight in our devotions, our readings, private readings, let's look through the portions there for reading number one. And then pray that the Lord will open our hearts to receive the message that he has for each of us individually, because we are all individually at different stages and experiences in our Christian lives. So let us pray. Our God, our Father, we are thankful this evening that thou hast brought us safely here to Spruce Lake. We thank thee for the Winter Youth Conference. We think of the many years that thou hast allowed us to hold this conference. We think of the many blessings that have come, the many challenges from thy word, challenges that would have an outcome where we would be more like the Lord Jesus, that we would reflect his beauty in this scene where he has been rejected. We love to think that we are to be ambassadors of Christ, representatives of his greatness, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his righteousness. And so we pray that as we would think about the subject of Jacob, that you would prepare our hearts, that you would help us even with the studies so that things would be clear and plain to us, and that as we would return home, that we would be those who are newly energized and challenged to be more like the Lord Jesus. We would pray also for young people who are still on the way. We ask that thou wouldst bring them here safely. Give us a rich time of blessing throughout the conference as we commit ourselves even for a good night this evening and a good night's rest. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So Brother Emil is going to now come and just give us some
an overview of Spruce Lake.
He takes care of the spiritual things. John takes care of the singing, and now I have to tell you what to have to do.
If I ask each and every one of you why you are here, you're probably going to give me all kind of answers. You're here because your friends are here and you wanted to be with them. You're here because your parents wanted to get rid of you for a couple of days and send you here. You're here because I gave you the registration 30 times and I kept telling you, fill it out and give it to me. But I want you seriously to think this. You are here because God marked you out for blessing. That's what Jacob said. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. The Lord have sent you here, and it's not by accident. You came here this weekend because the Lord have something for you. And I want you to think that this is the best investment that you ever did. Coming here just for a couple of days, I want you to unplug your iPhone, your iPad, whatever eye you have with you, just leave them alone. Just for a couple of days. Don't get distracted. And just think that there is some special blessing that the Lord has for you. He is going to prepare you. He's going to change your life. He's going to do something to you. But he wants you to be open. So don't sit and kind of like shut everybody off waiting. Okay, now Brother Tony went only for 20 minutes. Hopefully Emil is not going to go for another 20 minutes. I'm reading what's going on here. I want you to just really sit here and relax. And when the word of God is open, I want you to take it in. Because the Lord have a message for you. And he's not going to let you get out of here the way you came in. Because that's what we are praying for. You're going to change. And if you're not going to change by listening to the word of God, you still have his hand. And he knows where to touch. And if you want to be lame for the rest of your life, he had no problem doing that. But he would rather, if you listen to the word of God, taking it in. And what's going to happen? That imagine if every one of you will go out of here a changed person, going on to honor Christ in your life. Imagine what will happen to the world around you. And that's why you are left here. We're talking about that more and more tomorrow. But I really don't want you to walk out of here thinking, well, there is something special going to happen for you in your life as you listen to the word of God. Because the word of God doesn't go back void. It will bring fruit. No question about it. It always happens. You have to open your heart and your ears to listen. You have that program with you. I don't want you, I would appreciate if you put your name on it. So when I see it on the floor, I know who left it on the floor. So put your name there so we know who it is. And please open it up because it has a schedule so you know what time everything is at. We have a very tight schedule. We are not the only group here. So especially for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, if we are saying breakfast is at tomorrow morning, Lord willing, is 8:30 to 9:30, don't show up at 8 there and don't show up at 9:35. Please, because there is other group. Make sure that we follow what we have. The time for the Bible study, the time for singing, the time for activities. We want to be on time and we want to finish on time so we will have a proper balance for everything. We're going to have time for fun. We're going to have time for activities. We're going to have time if you want to go and play football in the snow with shorts on. That's fine with me. Just don't break your legs. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a really, really good time. But I really would appreciate if you follow what we have on the schedule. When we say that we should be in our rooms and the light should be out by 11:30, I know you all listen. And I know by 11:30 the lights are out. And I know by 11:30 you're all sleeping, right? Yeah. Yeah, been there, done that. So, the reason we want you to go to bed at least tonight, because trust me, tomorrow morning, when we are in a Bible study, if I see you dozing off, it's not going to be good. So try to have some sleep tonight. Just have some sleep tonight. You're going to see each other tomorrow and the day after if the Lord leaves us here. So just try to rest tonight so you'll be ready for tomorrow. Okay, please, and we are a testimony here. We don't want any, I mean, it's always good to hear in the end of the conference. You know, your group is the most wonderful group. They're quiet, they're behaving, they don't run around, they don't do any, they don't sneak out at night, they don't go in each other's room and stay till 3 o'clock in the morning. Your group are wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, let's just maintain that we are bearing a testimony to those around us outside. We want to make sure that we are behaving as we ought, as those who belong to the Lord Jesus. And if you have anything, any question about any administrative anything, don't go to the people of Spruce Lake at the desk there and ask them. Come and ask Brother Tony, ask myself, Brother John, Brother David. I'm getting old. We will help you out, but don't go and ask them for anything. Just try to come and ask us if you need anything. If there is anything with the room arrangement, come and talk to Brother Tony and I will help you out. We're trying to make the best out of it as much as we can. Please bring your Bible and your hymn book with you. You don't come to a Bible study without a Bible. You don't. You don't come to a Bible study without a Bible. It just doesn't work. And it doesn't work with me. And tomorrow, the front seats are first come, first serve. So I don't want you to fight over the front seat. I'll make sure there is enough seats in the front. And I will make sure there will be no seats in the back. All right? So I want you to sit up front with your Bible and with your hymn book. We're going to have organized games in the evening. We're going to have basketball and all kind of activity in the afternoon. And we're going to have a good time. We're really going to have a good time. We're going to enjoy the time together. The Lord, as I said, had marked us out for blessing. And again, just remember who are we presenting as we conduct ourselves around here at Spruce Lake. We are a representation of the Lord Jesus. So let's behave accordingly. And by the way, there might some who are here for the first time. And I'm not going to ask you to stand up and give your name. I hate when people do that. Stand up and tell me what's your name and where you're from. You know what? Just leave me alone. But some of you kind of see each other almost every day. Do yourself a favor, kind of, you know, try to find somebody else that you don't see every day and get to know them. Ask them your name. Ask them where you're from. You know, get to know people, because that's what fellowship is all about. The wonderful thing is this. You know what? You'll never find a place on earth like what you find among brethren. You go anywhere in the world, you kind of feel like you're at home with them. You know everybody. You see each other. You talk to each other. And sometimes it was the first time you met each other. Do the same thing here today. If you see somebody that you do not know, go to them and ask, hey, what's your name? Where do you go? What school are you go to? What are you doing with your life? Whatever. Have a conversation. Because I'm going to ask, like the third day, I'm going to pick up one person and say, hey, I'm going to pick another person. Did you know each other? Can you tell me something about each other? So make sure that you know each other and talk to each other. I don't want to see anybody sitting in the corner by themselves or sitting with people that are with them all the time, all the time. I'm going to break those things. I want you to know each other. I don't think I forgot anything else. I had enough. I had my 20 minutes.
So as some of you that just arrived,